Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, it's National Kite Day.
Tony Kornheiser.
Shout out Tom Kite and Greg Kite.
Greg Kite.
Shout
Everybody
out.
Knows Greg Kite.
Let me ask you something. When you were a kid, didn't your parents teach you how to fly a kite?
My parents didn't teach me how to fly a kite. It didn't seem that you needed a degree for that. You had a kite, you had a string.
All right, you flew
it got
a kite.
Windy, you flew the kite.
You ever seen, when is the last time you saw a kite in the air, anywhere?
Oh, that's been a long time.
Yeah.
But I don't travel in kite flying circles.
What are you talking about? Is there a sky above your attic? You walk outside, there's either a kite or not a kite.
Well, in my neighborhood, there's not a lot of kites. I have to concede there's not. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Saints hire Dennis Allen, the Blazers trade C.J. McCollum, and Tom Brady says, and I quote, never say never. But we begin today with the story that Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray has scrubbed all mention of the Cardinals from his Instagram. Plus, Murray has deliberately unfollowed the Cardinals on Instagram and Twitter. Murray has given no explanation for this action. Wilbon, I am not a social media guy, but you are. So is this something or nothing?
Tony, it's something. I mean, social media, when you measure it by the two generations or more generations younger than us, it's always something. It seems like a little something to me. Kyler Murray, it might be a big something. But Tony, let me go to the relationship for a second and not dwell on social media. It has never seemed to me like it is going to be a long relationship between Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And Kyler Murray can put up both numbers and highlights. He's done it. We've seen it. There were times in the first half of this season, just past regular season, where you would say, you know, I'll watch Kyler Murray before just about anybody else. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. But he's more spectacular to watch than either of them much of the time. Yet, Tony, I told you early in the season, he doesn't seem like he's the kind of player who's going to be durable enough, dependable enough, consistent enough. I just don't see it. And he's got the baseball fallback. I see him as being like a 5 or 6 year quarterback in the NFL. And then who knows? And not with the Cardinals after that point anyway, if then.
So I'm going to answer the question as someone without any knowledge of Kyler Murray as a player like you do, being in Arizona, or any knowledge of social media. But this seems like a pretty big something because Kyler Murray at the moment is the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals and he is the face of the franchise. And now the only pictures that he is making available of himself on social media, he's either wearing an Oklahoma jersey where he won the Heisman Trophy, Oklahoma, not Arizona, or is it an Oakland A's jersey because he was the ninth overall pick of that baseball team. And I'm not a psychiatrist, Mike, but I think what he has done here is basically said to the Arizona Cardinals, I'm not sure I love you as much right now as I used to before. Now, it's possible, Mike, that he's doing this for money, that this is sort of a threat. You better sign me. You better give me a lot of money.
Yep.
And I understand that. But this is so public. He could have done that with a phone call. He didn't have to do it this particular way. I think, Mike, that this is Aaron Rodgers not showing up at minicamp, and this is Russell Wilson telling the Seahawks last year, here's a list of four teams I will play for. That doesn't mean he's leaving because they did not leave.
That's what I was going to say. They didn't
but
go
it
anywhere.
Is such a publicly provocative act.
Yeah.
It's deliberately done so that people like you and I are going to talk about him. It's a slap to his employer, to me.
Well, Tony, it is deliberately public, but everything with social media is. But it also, and this is where we're going to part company a little bit because you don't care and don't dwell on the subtleties of social media, it might mean nothing. It might mean nothing by 4:30. This is the way social media is wildly, it's just back and forth. And if you tie yourself to it and make so much of it, it can backfire on you. But again, I don't think now the relationship between the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray is a long one. We're not looking at Johnny Unitas playing for the Colts here. We're not looking at that to me. At this point,
I would just tell you this. I'd like to hear from Cliff Kingsbury because they both share the same agent.
Yeah.
That agent could have gotten on the phone and made a phone call here. It didn't have to be public.
What makes you think Kingsbury is going to be that long either? I mean, Tony.
Don't know.
This is not our daddy's, you know, teams and franchises and leagues. These are times where people can play 5 years somewhere and say, hey, it was good. I'm out. The Saints have reportedly told defensive coordinator Dennis Allen that he's their choice to succeed Sean Payton as the team's head coach. Allen replaced Payton for one game when Payton was out with COVID, and he also went 8-28 in a previous stint as head coach of the Raiders. Eric Bieniemy interviewed for the position Sunday, the 15th time. He is officially interviewed but not been hired. So, Tony, is the bigger story that the Saints are giving the job to Allen or that once again, Bieniemy hasn't been hired?
So normally, I would want to know, how does this happen with Eric Bieniemy? How does a guy with these credentials get passed over time and time and time again? But I'm going to be honest, in this particular case, Mike, I believe in promoting from within. I sat in this chair yesterday. I said it was a good thing that the Houston Texans promoted Lovie Smith because he knew the team and he would have a calming influence. There's no particular turmoil at the Saints. Sean Payton wasn't fired. They don't have to change everything around. They had a pretty good team considering they didn't have a good quarterback. If they get a good quarterback, maybe they have a very good team. Dennis Allen's defense was responsible for a lot of their wins. To me, he seems like the reasonable choice given this circumstance because there's no upheaval. And I want to quote Mickey Loomis, who's been the GM there for like 20 years. And before the search, he said, there's a quote, "The other eight teams that let go of head coaches, I think their situations are different than ours. We had our coach retire with a lot of really good things in place already. We don't see it as a culture change, roster change, anything like that," unquote. And so in this case, Dennis Allen seems very reasonable to me.
He does. But what's the circumstance for Eric Bieniemy? Where is it? Where is it? On the moon, Alice? There's no circumstance in the National Football League which calls a lawsuit without merit. But if you have to have a rule in your league that forces you to interview black people, then there must be some damn merit. So what's the circumstance for Eric Bieniemy? 30 interviews? 40? I'm not going to sit here and swear that Eric Bieniemy is going to be a great coach, but I know people have been hired out of Kansas City. The Bears just did it the last 5 years. They hired a coach out of Kansas City who wasn't worth a damn. And Andy Reid vouches for this guy. Every time I've seen Andy Reid, he vouches for Bieniemy. It's like Andy Reid has angst. You can tell Andy Reid is ticked off about this, that one of his lieutenants, a prize lieutenant, can go on interviews until the cows come home. He's not. So there's no circumstance. But the NFL, liars that they often are, they say there's no merit to this. Really, there's no merit. But you have to have a rule that you instituted that says you got to interview this guy. But yet there's no merit. I care about this, Bieniemy, even though I agree with you.
This is
about
exactly
Allen.
Why. Right. This is exactly why Brian Flores filed a class action lawsuit charging bias in hiring, and exactly why he referenced Eric Bieniemy in that lawsuit.
Specifically.
But in this case, we
more
both
than one
think
thing can be
true.
More than one thing can
that's
be
right.
true. And I think that's where
right.
we are on this
We one. Move on. The Portland Trail Blazers today traded C.J. McCollum, the great complimentary guard to Damian Lillard, to the New Orleans Pelicans. This is Portland's second big trade. It appears to signal a radical makeover there. They got one big piece left, and that's Lillard. Wilbon, we know Lillard has publicly stated he wants to stay in Portland. So do you expect Portland to trade Lillard before Thursday's deadline?
I don't, Tony. I don't think they'll trade Damian Lillard. And Damian Lillard, yes, publicly, privately, in any way the discussion comes up, and I've talked with him about this. He loves Portland. He loves Oregon. He wants to stay there. He wants his family there. He is tied to the fabric of that community. And anybody there knows that he is beloved there. And he has said, I am not, here's one reason why I more than like Damian Lillard. I admire him to a great degree. Because he's not out there trying to form his own big three or join somebody else's to get a ring. He's not doing that. He's not saying, get me to the biggest market out there. He didn't do any of that. And people who don't know Damian Lillard ought to Google him. Look him up. Look at the good works he's responsible for, where he is in that community, and how he doesn't want to bail on them. And there's some challenges right now in Oregon and in greater Portland. So love Damian Lillard. I don't think he'll get traded because I think if you're Portland, you understand what you've got in him. And you're a small market, and you better do right by a guy who is beloved by that community, whose people buy tickets. So I don't think for a lot of reasons you're going to see him traded before the deadline.
I will tell you that this trade completely took me by surprise. Utterly took me by surprise. I think the only way that team can win is with McCollum and with Lillard. I think they're one step down. It's a big step, but it's only one step down from Curry
they
and Thompson.
They got to the conference finals. McCollum, they've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. McCollum has been in the league for 8 years and been in the playoffs 8 different times. This, they're dissolving rapidly this year, Portland. This makes the firing of Terry Stotts look absolutely unnecessary. And the guy who stepped in, Chauncey Billups, it appears that his feet are in quicksand right now and that even Lillard alone isn't going to be able to reverse this. Now, I differ with you in this regard. If I was Lillard, I'd go to Portland today and I would say, trade me. Because when you said that he doesn't want to leave, he doesn't want to fail them, they have failed him as far as I am concerned. Yeah. I would say trade me right now because I'm 31 years old. And if you do a total rebuild and I'm 34 when we start to win a little, I'm too old for the whole thing. Bye-bye Hulu. Bye-bye Modelo. You know, I didn't see this coming,
Tony,
to that Portland
team. They can't do it like Oklahoma City, where they just stockpile draft picks and wait 12 years, or like Philly with the process, right, with 7 years. No, they can't do it that way. But NBA teams can retool and win. We've seen that happen multiple times and recently. But if you are Damian Lillard, Tone, they can build quickly. They have some assets. You can make trades. You can go into free agency. You can do some things and win with him. I hope he stays, and I hope it works, because I like his approach to almost everything.
Let's take a break, but coming up, did Tom Brady open the door to playing again?
And who exactly is Joe Burrow? Well, that's Peter King. Peter got another
McCollum will help New Orleans. New Orleans, but nothing will help New Orleans without Zion Williamson
coming back. That's
right.
Pardon the interruption is brought to you by Horizon Forbidden West, rated T for teen.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Let the parade of PTI Super Bowl guests begin, starting with our great friend from both Football Night in America, Football Morning in America, Mr. Peter King. What's the matter? You don't have Football Afternoon in America wearing your Ohio University alma mater shirt? Here we go, Peter. First question. We will get to the Super Bowl in a moment. But Tom Brady told Jim Gray last night, and I'm quoting here, never say never with regard to maybe playing again. In your mind, do you think there's any chance that Tom Brady could actually play football again?
I think there's a chance, but I think Brady was just trying to answer the question honestly. How does he know how he's going to feel in 6 months? As of right now, he doesn't think he's going to play. What events will conspire 5, 6, 7 months from now to maybe make him want to play, or for some coach he loves to call him and say, come and play? Who knows? All I know is that Philip Rivers opened the door, and then when the Saints called, he said no. Drew Brees never really opened the door, but when the Saints called, he said no too. So I doubt we'll see Brady playing again.
All right, one guy we know we're going to see playing again is Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, who I heard people compare to Brady this morning, which made me want to throw up. But, Peter, you have covered the league a million years, and you've spent some time with Burrow. Give us some actual context. There's so much hype. Give us some perspective on Burrow, the player and the guy.
Mike, I think the best thing you can say about Joe Burrow is that nothing really bothers him. It was about 3 months and or 3 years and 10 months ago where Urban Meyer sent him packing. He picked Dwayne Haskins over Burrow at Ohio State. Burrow had to go hit the road to find somewhere to play. I maintain that's one of the best things that happened to him because it toughened him up. And even though he was already a tough kid, it toughened him up. He went to LSU, played a better brand of offensive football at LSU than he would have played in the Big Ten. It made him better. And now I think, Michael, what I see when I see Joe Burrow is I see a young guy who's not fazed by anything. Sack him 9 times. He'll get back in the huddle and says, guys, we're fine. I heard that after he got sacked either the 8th or 9th time at Tennessee, he just said, hey, don't worry, guys, we're okay. And that's why the guys around the Bengals love playing for him. He's not going to be cowed by walking into a situation like he will Sunday in Los Angeles after walking into Tuscaloosa, you know, pillaging Nick Saban's offense after going 3-0 in the playoffs this year. I think he's going to handle the situation pretty well.
So you think he's going to handle Aaron Donald and that Rams defense pretty well, too? If anything is going to rattle you, you would think in that game, that defense, Von Miller, too, could do that. But it sounds like you don't think that'll happen.
Well, I think it very well could because it's one thing to be cool about getting hit. It's another thing to have enough time to do what you want to do. And I would expect that the Cincinnati offense, that what Zach, what Zach Taylor and the coaching staff is going to set up is the ability to use the tight end and shorter routes by the wideouts to get the ball out of Burrow's hands faster.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this. You picked the Rams to win the Super Bowl in the preseason, proving that great minds think alike. Because although I didn't pick them to win the Super Bowl, I picked them to get in the Super Bowl the day they made the trade for Matthew Stafford, and Wilbon screamed at me and said I was an idiot, and who's laughing now? So we're both with the Rams. Do you see them winning this game? Are you sticking with them through this game?
I will pick the Rams if the defensive front can really disrupt and upset Joe Burrow and his timing and his ability to hit his receivers. But I think if that offensive line, maybe even using an extra blocker occasionally, if that offensive line holds up, I like the Bengals. So I don't mean to be wishy-washy, but I'm just telling you that if Burrow gets the crap beat out of him, I'm not saying he's not going to be able to make some plays and play well, but I think the most important factor in this game is the Cincinnati offensive line, how it's going to play against Von Miller, Aaron Donald, and their friends.
Spoken like a true son of Ohio University, going with the Ohio kid. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Let's take one last break, but still to come, Duke drops one at home.
And the Nets looking at their 9th loss in a row tonight. Tony, the first time I went to Spinney Field where the Bengals practiced back in the 80s, Peter King picked me up from the airport, showed me around, took me to practice, Sam Weish, Boomer Esiason. It was great. Spinney Field under the freeway.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 32nd birthday, Klay Thompson, the other Splash Brother. Thompson has played 12 games since his return to Golden State after 2 years of injuries. His percentage from the three-point line, 37.8, well below his career percentage of 42, even with his three threes last night. But again, he's been away from basketball for 2 years. Over the course of his career, Thompson has scored 19 points a game and shot 46% from the field. Thompson owns the NBA record of 37 points in a single quarter. He did it against Sacramento in 2015. 13 of 13 from the field, 9 of 9 from three. By himself, Thompson outscored Sacramento in that quarter by 15 points.
And when Draymond Green gets back, Tony, not only is he maybe the best defensive player in basketball, he helps their offense. A lot of it runs through Draymond Green. So that percentage is going to go up, I think, 240. And Steph Curry is going to get back to being the Steph Curry he was before Draymond got hurt. So, I mean, the Warriors, they've won, what, 9 in a row? And I think it's looking up for them when Green returns.
Happy anniversary, Adrian Peterson, on this day 18 years ago. Shortly after signing a letter of intent to Oklahoma, Peterson told the Dallas Morning News he could go straight to the pros if someone had offered him enough money. In each of his first 9 games at Oklahoma, Peterson gained at least 100 yards. He finished second in the Heisman voting to Matt Leinart. Peterson is headed for first ballot induction into Canton. He wants to play next season, and to this point, he ranks 4th all-time in rushing touchdowns, 5th all-time in rushing yards behind Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Frank Gore, and Barry Sanders.
You can almost always judge an athlete by the company he keeps, and that short list will tell you what kind of player Peterson's been.
Absolutely, absolutely. Happy trails to last night's game for Duke. Blue Devils beaten at home last night, 69-68, on a three-pointer by Virginia's Reese Beekman. Quote, "We were 2-12 from three," UVA coach Tony Bennett said. "Glad we weren't 1-12. This was only the third time in the last 25 years that Duke had seen a game winner beat them at Cameron with less than 2 seconds left on the clock. This one was with 1.1 seconds left. Duke has lost 4 games all season by a total of just 9 points. And in each one, Duke has had the lead late.
Thrilling game, Tony. A lot of back and forth. And it was tough to see Virginia winning that game until that shot went bottoms, was wet. Great game.
One omission, Bradley Beal undergoes season-ending surgery on his left wrist. That's terrible. Let's go to the big finish very quickly.
Let's do it.
The Pacers traded DeMontis Sabonis to the Kings for Buddy Hield and Tyrese Halliburton. Whoa, your thoughts?
That's a big trade, Tony. I thought Indiana was going to be a playoff team this year. They weren't. They're blowing it up. USA's Nathan Chen smashed the world record for the short program. Big deal?
Yeah, if he does well in the long program, he wins gold. NFL Network reports the Steelers will interview Lewis Riddick for the vacant GM opening. Your thoughts?
That would be a big loss for another network, this one, if Lewis Riddick was to leave, but I wish him well. Bucks and Lakers, whatever he decides. Bucks and Lakers tonight, important one for Russell Westbrook ahead of the trade deadline.
Doesn't work there. Just doesn't work there. Last one, Celtics and Nets tonight. 9th loss in a row for Brooklyn.
No Kyrie, no Harden, no KD. 9th loss in a row for Brooklyn.
No chance. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Celtics have won 5 in a row, too. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here is SportsCenter.
Didn't see that coming for Bradley Beal.
No.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.